Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
A mid-morning dance with the devil from the Farmer of Fury.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the Great Dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We are live in Westminster this morning where everyone has woken up with a massive hangover, but it wasn't caused by too much champagne. Rather, it was brought on by the bitter taste of defeat, revenge, retribution and remorse. Yesterday, Prime Minister Theresa May finally capitulated to reality and admitted what we'd all known for weeks. Her deal is a bum deal that nobody wants, a deal that nobody can make work, and a deal that has arrived dead in the water. Today, she's headed over to Europe in an attempt to shore up an already collapsed edifice of a plan that could not be revived by a team of specialists at St Thomas's Hospital just down the road here. Last Friday, I called for her resignation. That call remains in place and can be no more apt than it is today, because the only possible way out of this mess she's created is to appoint a new leader, a new negotiator, someone who carries a stick as well as a carrot, someone who will be able to put the frighteners on the Brussels bureaucrats who hold us in such contempt. 0344 499 1000. We'll be joined by a host of guests this morning, but we want to hear from you as well as Theresa May careens around Belgium, France and Germany in an ever more pointless exercise of futility. We need your help appointing a new Prime Minister. You know you can do it. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, on Talk Radio, live from College Green.
Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Joined now by Crispin Blunt, MP, Conservative MP for Reigate, a former chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Crispin, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Now, it really is quite a remarkable, historic kind of period of politics in this country at the moment, because I think for many people and for many sort of politicians and people who have covered politics for many, many years, they've never seen such a kind of vacuum at the heart of the power of this country.
Well, the Prime Minister started out the negotiation process by being admirably clear that we weren't going to be in the customs union because we couldn't then have free trade agreements where we wanted. We weren't going to be in the single market because that didn't bring an end to uncontrolled immigration from our European Union partners. And so she set out her position. And then gradually through the negotiating process, I'm afraid we've had a complete focus on the withdrawal agreement and almost no focus on the future, and it was the future arrangement and the future free trade agreement that was obviously of greatest interest to the UK. And we've got sucked into this nonsense of the backstop and the Northern Ireland border, which is a total non-issue. No one is putting a hard border up in the Republic, between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. It's just a nonsense.
Well, this is what I've been saying to people all along, really, because I don't think there's anyone in Ireland that wants it. There's nobody in the EU that's going to do it. There's nobody in London that wants to do it. So, you know, they're really, it's a shibboleth, isn't it?
The only formal reason for it is it's required under the World Trade Organization rules.
Yeah.
Except you can then apply for a security exemption, and plainly, given the Good Friday Agreement and the potential security situation in Northern Ireland, no one would object to that. And then there is another exemption as well, simply reflecting the circumstances of the border itself. And the WTO aren't going to made it clear themselves that they're not going to be rushing around trying to enforce that part of their orders. So And they, I mean, and indeed, they have no capability of doing so anyway.
The problem with this entire sort of situation is that no matter who says something, which apparently is irrevocable, cannot be changed, this cannot be reversed, it always turns out that actually it can be reversed. There is no such thing as a sort of finality, it would seem. And it seems to me, with Theresa May now going off all over Europe trying to negotiate a better deal, which she's not going to get, basically, it's all a waste of everybody's time now, isn't it? Shouldn't we be doing... It feels like we should be doing something, but the wheels are spinning and nothing's happening.
Well, you've had a negotiation between the EU Commission and the United Kingdom. And the truth is, the EU Commission have kicked the British negotiators all around the park and have got a very good deal for the European Union.
Yeah.
And their objective was to secure their money and to ensure the United Kingdom couldn't compete with the European Union once it left. That's a disaster for the UK.
Right.
What are we paying this money for? We haven't actually secured anything for it, because the future trading arrangement with the EU is simply a set of aspirations. It's not something that is really bankable. And that's what the money ought to have been used for. Huge leverage in the negotiations for the UK. And of course we must secure our freedom once we leave, to be able to have free trade agreements with whoever we so please, in order to support the British economy, which is a globally facing economy. It's why we run a huge trade deficit with the EU and have a huge trade surplus with the United States, for example. And what I don't understand is, in the minds of our negotiators, why they... And indeed, I wrote a report on this when I was chairing the Foreign Affairs Committee on the implications of no agreement, pointing out that the EU has twice as much at stake in securing an agreement than we do, in the number of people who might be economically damaged, might lose their jobs as a consequence, if you had the full impact of going to World Trade Organization terms. However, all of those things are manageable. Not least, we can immediately offer to have no tariffs, and that takes more than all the pain of the of the change.
But that's the trouble with this whole debate, isn't it? That we hear from one side a completely different set of facts than we hear from the other side.
Well,
and facts are being bandied around which are not facts, let's face it.
Yes, and what's happening here is the Remain side are being allowed to get away with a set of arguments saying no deal is unacceptable, it would be a catastrophe. Well, you then need to unpack those arguments. Why would it be a catastrophe? Are people really not going to sell the United Kingdom medicine?
Right.
Are they really going to ground the aeroplanes?
Yeah.
Are they really going to search all the lorries when there are twice as many lorries bringing things from the
EU? Well, I was having a conversation with somebody just casually the other day who said that she gets contact lenses from Europe. And that's all part of some EU agreement.
Yep.
And she said, I won't be able to get them after Brexit. I said, well, why not? Why won't you be able to? And she didn't have an answer. She had become convinced that basically everyone had told her that you won't be able to get them anymore.
Absolutely. Which is why the debate has got to focus on the implications of no agreement, what it means to go to World Trade Organization terms. And most of the difficulties that would be associated with that would only happen if our European Union partners pursued policies to make those difficulties happen.
Right.
And if we're sitting with 39 billion quid... and they're selling twice as much to us as we're selling to them, why on earth would they do that?
Well, exactly. And I mean, I've been telling people for the last couple of weeks, at the very least, you know, the wine industry in France, the champagne industry in France, the Prosecco industry in Italy. I don't want to keep focusing on alcohol, but I mean, you know, all of these people would be out of business if they didn't sell us any stuff, because we buy by far and away the most of it. And I mean, as far as you're concerned, has this just been a case of terribly bad negotiating, or has it been a case of people trying to protect a soft Brexit?
I think a combination of the two. And I think we should not have allowed the sequencing which the European Union insisted on at the beginning, of dealing with the withdrawal agreement first, then the transition, and then only once they were all signed off would we come to the future arrangements between the UK and the EU. And of course, our interests are at the end of that process, and we have essentially signed over £39 billion for, if the deal was accepted, for no return.
Indeed. Now, you have sent in your letter of no confidence to the committee which collects these things. Do you expect...
Well, it's not the committee. It goes personally to the chairman of the 1922 committee, Sir Graham Brady.
Sir Graham, do you expect to reach that magic 48 number soon? Because one of the criticisms of Jacob Rees-Mogg and the people who supposedly wanted to unseat Theresa May as the Prime Minister, or as the leader of the party anyway, couldn't reach 48. Is that going to happen now?
Well, people are very nervous about doing it. One of the reasons I've gone public now to say that I've done it is to, A, to make clear that no one knew that I had, and that was simply my decision between myself and Sir Graham Brady. And indeed, I had submitted it twice. I had submitted it in October, when I thought we needed to have a new leader in place for this December council that's happening now. Now, that didn't happen, so I withdrew the letter when it looked as though a deal was about to happen, saw the deal, and I put the letter back in.
Right.
And that was probably about a month ago. And I think it's important for my colleagues to understand that they can completely trust Sir Graham Brady. He's not going to go and tell anybody that they have written a letter. So anyone can write a letter, anyone in the government, any junior ministers, senior ministers, or any backbench MPs. They're all entitled, if they've got a view, that we actually now need to resolve the issue of the direction of the party and whether the party is going to continue down a line of not really leaving the EU at all, or whether we're going to, because there's obviously going to be no agreement with the EU, or whether we're going to take our freedom on the 29th of March, go and negotiate free trade agreements with the rest of the world, but most importantly of all, give business the certainty that they know the terms of trade on the 29th of March. And that's the position that's been made to me by businesses in my constituency, is certainty is much more important than anything else. And you can give us the certainty of World Trade Organization terms, then we know what investment decisions we have to make. And otherwise, we've got years of uncertainty going in front of us.
Indeed.
2 years transition, possibly 2 years extra to the transition, and then an indefinite period in the backstop.
And just finally, Crispin, because time is short, I'm afraid, do you believe Theresa May is the wrong person now to lead this negotiation, to lead Brexit, to lead what it is that Britain has to now do in order to make this work?
Yes, and that's why I've put the letter in, and that's, and I've made it public in order to try and encourage my colleagues who are of that view to get the vote to happen. If she wins the vote of confidence, then the parliamentary party will have decided to sustain her in her premiership, and she will have to reconcile these issues. But I think we now need to make a clear choice to try and find a leader who is going to take us to the 29th of March 2019. It's perfectly that is fraught with difficulty. It is perfectly possible there might be a general election if Conservatives who don't agree with that direction try to think it's more important to bring the government down and possibly let Jeremy Corbyn in than actually leave the European Union properly. But that will be a decision that they've got to take.
OK. Crispin Blunt, thank you very much indeed. Conservative MP for Reigate, a former chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee, very clear on the fact that Theresa May has now run as far as she can get and gone as far as she can go, and it is now time for her herself to go. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. We're live at Westminster, down on College Green. There's a whole load of other journos hanging around. The protesters have finally turned up as well. They've obviously woken up, got out of bed, and figured out what it is that they're actually protesting against. There's a lot of shouts of something to Brexit, which, of course, I can't say on a family show like this. Pete says, will Theresa May also be urging turkeys to vote for Christmas? And lots of you are tweeting in as well. I'll be getting to lots of them as well very shortly, at Talk Radio, at IROMG. The fact that she's traipsing around Europe again, busking with her begging bowl, indicates where her loyalties lie, says Chloe. She should be here facing her critics and in the House of Commons later for an emergency debate. She's run away again. Here's one from Steve. He says, how can we exit the EU when Parliament has shown it isn't fit for purpose? Corbyn won't commit to any policy, May's not listening at all, and senior Tories only looking to twist the knife. Staying would mean at least we have some functioning lawmakers. A truly pathetic display. Well, coming up very shortly, we're going to talk to Joe Twyman, founder of Delta Poll. First, though, let's talk to Ray, who's in Crewe. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Mike. Thanks for speaking to me. Yeah, I'm
not at all. What do you want to tell us?
Now, very frustrated with this Brexit fiasco. I think it is time for Mrs. May to go. I think they've had her wrapped around her finger in Europe all the time she's been negotiating. I think she comes across as a very weak person, in all honesty, and I don't mean that to sound too, awful.
Listen, I think you're absolutely right. And by the way, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to criticise a female prime minister in the same way that you would a male prime minister. So as much as people say, oh, I don't want to be rude about her or cause offence, I wouldn't worry about that.
She's tried to come across as a Mrs. Thatcher. I mean, she's not fit to polish Mrs. Thatcher's handbag, in all honesty, really. I think, she's very good when she stands at a lectern and she has a pre-prepared speech and she sounds very good and it all comes across great. As soon as she's questioned ad hoc, I mean, I don't know if you've seen clips with Philip Schofield, you know, that well-known bull terrier,
yeah.
Philip Schofield. Her voice starts to tremble. She sounds weak. She doesn't sound, with any authority. Now, she's been negotiating with the EU like that. There's little wonder that we haven't actually got anywhere. So I think it's time she actually stood down and let somebody, you know, who could negotiate. I mean, she's been threatening Remainers that if they don't vote a deal through, we'll have no deal Brexit. She's been threatening Brexiteers if they don't vote her deal, there'll be another vote, right, or we won't leave. It's a pity she didn't have the same tenacity dealing with Europe, and I think we'd have been in a lot better place. So I do think it's time. She had a bit of pride and stood down, really, because
Yes. Nobody
really wants it. Even the Conservatives don't want it, in all honesty. I think the ones that do are just fearful for their own positions. In all honesty, I can't see how anybody can come out and defend it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. It's a great call, Ray. Thank you very much indeed for kicking us off there. 0344 499 1000. I think the point Ray makes is a very good one. She has run out of road.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham, 0344 499 1000. We're live on College Green in Westminster. The sun is still shining. The sky has not yet fallen in. Theresa May is careering around in Europe for no apparent purpose. We've got now, though, Paul Scully with us, MP, supporter of the government, I would imagine, still, and here to tell us what is happening here this afternoon.
Yeah, morning, Mike. Morning. I can imagine why people are confused. I mean, this is unprecedented times, I think, clearly.
Yeah.
But I think she was right to pull the vote when she did, because the fact is that it looked like she was going to lose, looked like she was clearly going to lose. And in my view, you know, I campaigned to leave, I voted to leave, and I just seeing no deal sort of receding slightly after last week's antics. So therefore, this is
and
the
are you
best...
in favour of no deal? Would you rather see there being no deal?
No, I don't want to. I'm not in favour of it in terms of that's not my default position. I'm happy to go that way if we can't get any sense of agreement. But we've got to prepare for it. And what I've been saying is not only we've got to prepare for it in terms of contingency planning, we've actually got to start signing bilateral agreements now to do the open skies agreement, to keep the planes flying, all that kind of stuff.
But that's the thing.
It's easy to do.
Aren't we in this crazy situation where, I mean, I said this to somebody last week when I thought Theresa May's performance and the government's performance overall was a complete waste of time, because we moved further away from the deal by the Friday than we were at it on the Monday. And it seems to me that, you know, if you were buying a house that you had to complete by March the 29th, you would have signed almost all the papers by now. And here we are trying to do this mammoth constitutional kind of, you know, redux, if you like, and we're nowhere near it. Absolutely nowhere near it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've got hung up on the Irish backstop, which we did. We got hung up a year ago on this. So the reason that I'm supporting this is because I'm just a pragmatist that's dealing with what I've got in front of me at this time and point. And this is the only way. It's the only game in town. It's the only way I can see that we're going to leave in an orderly fashion, because no deal, even if we do get the bilaterals, is going to have short-term turbulence. So whereas no deal is nowhere near the cliff edge that some people describe it as in medium-long term, we've got to try and avoid as much of the short-term turbulence as we can as well.
No, of course. Now, you said it was right that Theresa May pulled the vote. I don't agree with that at all, on the basis that many people that are tweeting me are completely not just bewildered, but really quite angry about the way the government is treating them, particularly those who voted to leave the European Union. They're feeling as though they're being pushed around. We're seeing people like Ian Blackford, the leader in Westminster of the SNP, talking about taking back control. And I'm sorry, you know, the Parliament does not have control of this. I know that there will be those inside that building over there who think they do, but surely they are the servants of the people, and the people have voted, the people have spoken, and it's time for the government and the other parliamentarians in there to do what they're asked to do.
Look, you'd think so, and I totally agree with you that the people, you know, 17.4 million people would have voted to leave. That's why I'm so determined to make sure we do leave. So what we've got a Labour Party that, frankly, you could bring the best deal ever, they would not accept it. Why? Because they want a general election. They've said that they've made a load of tests that they know are impossible to meet. So they're just interested in power and a general election. You've got the Lib Dems, you've got the SNP that want to have this so-called people's vote, which, you know, you and I will say, well, we've had the people's vote, we've done this.
Yeah.
But why do they want it? Not because they want to trust the people, as they would describe it, because they want to pretend it never happened. They always put on the end of their tweets, the Lib Dems, hashtag exit from Brexit. That's the true rationale behind what they're doing. So it actually does leave the Conservatives as the only people debating amongst themselves. Conveniently, they're two sides to actually debate within the Conservative Party, clearly. But
well, I mean, funnily enough, I just had Andy McDonald here from the Labour Party, and, you know, I said to him, surely this is your opportunity, if you want a general election, to try and bring the government down. And yet, you're not taking it because it's not politically expedient, because you don't think you'll win. You know, where's the principle there?
Well, either you've got confidence or you've got no confidence. You know, at the end of the day, if you're asking a question, you want the answer. So it's not about, you know, picking over what you see as a divided other side. And frankly, as I say, all they want to do by doing that is to get to a general election point of view, which actually, frankly, wouldn't change anything, because what's Jeremy Corbyn going to come and do? He says he wants to stay in a customs union, not the customs union, a single market, not the single market, all these kind of things, which basically ends up meaning you don't end freedom of movement, you still end up paying, you don't basically leave the EU at all. So that's not...
And he also has the same problem inside the Labour Party that you have inside the Conservative Party, which is that there's two groups of people with two completely opposing views on Remain and Leave.
Yeah, and so what... Yeah, no, absolutely. But so what we've got to do, and what we haven't done yet as a government enough, is actually explain what the deal already does have in it. So, you know, when we're talking about trying to improve it for people, but we've got to explain... You know, people voted to leave, I voted to leave the political institutions, the deal does that, to stop paying in membership fees into the EU, deal does that, to be able to end freedom of movement, deal does that, and to be able to start negotiating trade deals and ratifying them, deal partly does that. The sticking point is we can't implement them until we've got rid of the backstop and the transition. So that's the bit I'm sort of uncomfortable with. But what we're not doing as well is explaining why the EU are also uncomfortable with that, and there's no way they're going to want that to happen. To be a permanent part of the
But
agreement.
While this whole distraction of Theresa May is going on, you're going to find that very difficult, aren't you? Because surely the problem at the moment is that everybody's now focused on Theresa May and the fact that she is a busted flush, that she has taken this deal as far as she can take it. The road is run out for her. She's gone over to Europe today for no apparent purpose, it seems to me. She's been told there will be no renegotiation, there will be no more concessions given. So the best she's going to be able to do is convince people that the language of the legal advice about the backstop was somehow misinterpreted, and actually at some point we will be able to leave it. At that point the DUP will become the kingmakers, won't they? Because they will then either say we still back the Tories, we still back Theresa May, or they walk away from it and you're screwed.
Well, look, in terms of the DUP being kingmakers, I wouldn't necessarily describe it like that, but they've always had the balance of power, because with the confidence supply for the since the last general election, so they are key players. But the we're not going to get major change in the actual text of the withdrawal agreement or possibly the protocol.
Which they, at the moment, are not buying.
But we could get an addendum to it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not privy to those sort of conversations, but we could get an addendum to it, which could be legally binding. We could get a beefed-up political declaration. But what the EU, I think, need to do, if they are truly wanting to accommodate a decent deal that works for both sides, they've got to move. But there again, we've got to be clear about what we're asking them to do. That's fair. I get that. So we've got to explain to them, that, or they need to explain to the British people, that actually this deal, even the backstop, gives Northern Ireland a competitive advantage over the Southern Ireland. Economically, it really works for Northern Ireland. Politically, it clearly doesn't, hence the DUP's objections, and I understand that. And the fact of the matter, for us as the UK, we get access to their market, to the EU market, without freedom of movement, without having to pay the membership fees, which, of course, the other 27 nations are not going to want to be permanently, because they will say, hold on a sec, how come these guys have got that sort of deal and we haven't? Mm.
Now, we've heard in the last half an hour or so that it's going to be something like January the 21st, latest, so possibly before that, before there's an opportunity to vote on this particular Brexit deal. That seems a long way off, doesn't it? I mean, why can it not be done sooner? And are we really going to have to go all the way through Christmas and beyond into the new year before this can be resolved?
Well, I think you say latest for good reason, because if nothing changes, we are away from Parliament from next Thursday, from the 20th, I think it is. And then we're not back until the 8th of January. So there's that 2-week period that we were back in our constituencies anyway. So if you just take that as read, unless something changes and we get recalled back to Parliament, which we can do, you know, this is clearly the most important,
quite important
thing.
So yeah.
I'm happy to come back.
You might have to give up your eggnog.
Well, listen, I'm happy to come back, but there again, I'm only 10 miles south of here, so it takes me an hour to get in. Right. So the guys in Scotland might have a different view, but there again, they're the ones that are voting against it, so right. I'm less fussed about that.
Yeah, no, indeed, absolutely. But I mean, there is also this huge elephant in the room, which is, you know, whether or not, we've already had Crispin Blunt this morning telling us that he's resubmitted his letter into the 1922 committee for the removal or at least the no confidence vote in Theresa May. There's a pretty good likelihood that we're going to reach the number 48, I think, I would say, by this time next week. And if that happens, then surely you're going to have another problem, because you're going to find an awful lot of Tory MPs who might have supported Theresa May last time around won't do it this time.
Well, it just sounds like a really terrible advent calendar, doesn't it?
It does.
Opening it one letter each day until Christmas. I mean, that's really bad. But no, the reality of it, so if you get to the 48 letters that we need to trigger a confidence motion in the party with Theresa May, if they come in, the no confidence motion will then have to get 50% plus one of the Tory MPs.
Yes.
So and I can't see that being reached. Yeah, you can.
Even now?
No, I don't think so, because I think most people, even if they don't like the deal, one, want to get on with things, two, realise that if we are seen to be, it takes a couple of months really to change leader, because it's open to the whole part. Gone are the days when the men in grey suits used to come and usher one person out and someone else to come in, white smoke arise, that kind of thing. So it takes, you know, it's one man, one vote, one member, one vote. So so this takes a long time, and for us to be talking amongst ourselves as a party, appointing the next Prime Minister, is a bit navel-gazing. I think people will be looking in on that, wondering what we're doing.
Well, that's true, but you're giving a very different perspective from the one I've heard from the people out there
this
morning.
It's the correct one.
Of course, say that, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, you're one of those parliamentarians that thinks you run the country. You know, you don't. I mean, there is a serious point here, though, because there is a great feeling of kind of disrespect towards Parliament now, and in fact quite angry feelings going on out there, particularly outside of London, particularly in places where people did vote massively in big numbers to leave the European Union. They're feeling as if they're being neglected, they're feeling as if they're being ignored, and really, I can't give them any reason to not think that.
Look, I totally understand that. As I say, from someone, as I say, campaigned and voted to leave, wanted to leave for 20 years, and then being called too stupid and too old, which is why I voted to leave. I understand having a patronising pat on the head.
Yeah.
I totally get that. So if you look at Parliament as a whole, yeah, I can totally understand it, because you've got so many people, including the Dominic Grieve amendment that we had last week, that started to kick no deal a little bit further away from us. People are really starting in Parliament are starting to unpick the referendum result, unpick that vote of 17.4 million people that voted to leave. Whereas what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to chart this pragmatic way. From having run small businesses, I'm trying to apply a business brain to it rather than a political, naive political brain to it, and work out what we can do to satisfy both sides, to try and bring, now you might say that it will satisfy nobody, but actually, you know, if you look at the deal, there is a lot in there for both sides if we explain it properly, and I don't think we're getting that message across. What it's actually doing, when I was on the podium doing various debates, people were saying, if only we were in the common market, if it only was just back to the common market, I could live with that. This is actually going some way back towards that for this couple of years.
Yeah. The job of explanation has been terrible. One final question. Theresa May, still Prime Minister in January for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even if the letters come in, I think she would win a vote of no confidence. And then she's actually in for another year, because she can't be challenged for another year. So I think she will be there. But I think she does need to change the next stage of negotiations. She needs to change her style for the next stage to keep that confidence in the party.
I don't know if she's got a different style, but we shall see. Paul, thank you very much indeed. Paul Scully, MP there, giving his view on the fact that Theresa May will not be dislodged from power. She will return from Europe. She may be able to do something to convince people that the deal is a better deal than they think it is. We'll take more of your calls coming up in the next hour.
Stay for good this time.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. 0344 499 1000. Theresa May is careering around in Brussels, in Holland. She's going to Berlin. She might pop back and go to France and see Emmanuel Macron at some point. There doesn't seem to be any point to it at all. However, what on earth is she going to come back with? Karen says May goes to the EU. She'll say they're not happy with the backstop. They think you'll trap us in there. I've told them you won't, but they don't believe me. Oh, unfortunately, no change, but we can promise to stick to our word. That sounds perfect. Everyone will trust us. Ha ha. Graham from Bushy says building a border in Ireland has about as much chance of happening as Trump's wall along the border with Mexico. And Sean says, I heard a snowflake student the other day saying she doesn't want us to leave the EU because it means she won't be able to travel and see the world. For heaven's sake, there are idiots everywhere. We're going to go back to the phones now. We've got a whole series of live guests coming up as well. We're down at College Green on Westminster. We've had some musical accompaniment from a load of musicians who said that music depends upon freedom of movement, and that may well be true. Let's talk to Neil, who's in Macclesfield. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Mike. You okay?
Yeah, very well, sir. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, we keep hearing about the catastrophe if we come out of the EU with no deal. But I would say let's go out of the EU on WTO rules to prevent a Corbyn government getting power, because the consequences of Corbyn getting in is just, that would really be catastrophic. It would affect the whole of the FTSE 100 companies, which would have a knock-on effect to people's pensions. You know, he's talking about privatisation of the rail network, the water boards. He wants to have a universal wage.
Yeah.
He wants to clear all the student debts. You know, it would be like living in Fantasy Island for about 5 years, and then suddenly we would have this huge bankruptcy issue, and then the Germans would come on board, yeah, like they have done in Greece, and we would all be then paying the Germans back all of the money that we borrowed on the Labour government. So how does that fit with all these companies in the FTSE 100 who want to leave on a deal with Theresa May? It's just ridiculous.
Well, he also wants to silence any kind of criticism as well, because basically, you know, he wants to shut down any newspaper kind of criticism of a Labour policy or a Labour government. You know, it would be an absolute nightmare. And by the way, I don't know if you heard the news this morning, that employment is as high now as it's ever been. So, you know, all these doom and gloom merchants who have told us that the economy is going to falter and fail have got it completely and utterly wrong, Neil.
They have, and one thing they don't mention is that 44% of our existing trade is under WTO rules. So we're not talking about something here which is completely foreign to our companies. Companies have been trading under WTO rules for decades, and we don't have a trade agreement with the USA or China under the EU, so we'd be able to bring in goods from the USA and China. And, you know, our cost of living would actually improve under WTO rules. But you don't get this aired on mainstream media because, you know, there is, you know, there's a conspiracy against.
Well, you get it heard on talk radio, and we are mainstream media, so I'm going to disagree with you there, Neil, but thanks very much indeed. Neil in Macclesfield will take more calls coming up soon. Ross Kempsall has joined us once more. He's talk radio's political editor. Ross, what do you got for us?
Yeah, a little bit of breaking news just coming out of number 10 in the last minute, which is that Downing Street says that it intends to bring whatever Theresa May manages to secure from Europe back to the House of Commons before January the 21st. So that means
that's
that
good
the
of them.
Meaningful vote would be before Jan 21st deadline.
Uh-huh.
That is an earlier deadline than the House of Commons said was possible. It was feasible that it could go right up until the end of March for a vote. So this is the government intending to indicate to its critics, the Tory backbench rebels, look, we're going to try and bring this back really in shorter time scale than that.
So this was the vote that was due to take place tonight, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely, which is now being put off until Jan 21st at the latest. I should imagine that this is indicative that there will be an attempt to bring that back sooner than Jan 21st. Now, we're also being told that the Cabinet will meet on Wednesday afternoon. Cabinet this morning was cancelled because Theresa May has been to Brussels. A little bit of further clarification as well on the timetable. Prime Minister is definitely meeting Angela Merkel this afternoon.
Yeah.
So that is confirmed. That's at midday. So that will be quite an important and significant meeting, I would imagine, coming out of Berlin. And then there will be further meetings later today at 4 o'clock with Donald Tusk, and 6:15 with Jean-Claude Juncker, President of the EU Commission.
Okay.
Ross, thank you very much indeed. Looks like they're going to kick this all the way through Christmas, I would imagine. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. 03444991000 is the number to call us on. Anthony says, if you're suggesting closing all independent schools to stop elitism, are you suggesting the same for independent medical services? Well, no, Anthony. If I was suggesting that, you would have heard me suggesting it. So I'll just stick with the independent schools for the moment, and we'll come back to that another time, because we haven't got a lot of time left on the show. And I'm joined now by the bad boy of the House of Commons. He is, of course, Lloyd Russell Moyle. Very good afternoon to you, Lloyd.
Good afternoon.
Are you allowed back in there yet?
I am allowed back in now, yes.
Now, tell us why you were thrown out.
After the government had denied us a vote and denied us a debate, denied me in the speaking slot, and denied, then after hundreds of MPs called out for the debate to be happened, I just became so enraged. I picked up the golden mace,
yes,
which is this big golden speaking stick in the middle of Parliament and represents the power of Parliament to legislate under the Queen's authority.
It represents the royal authority, yes. I think, doesn't it? Yeah.
And
it's quite heavy, isn't it?
It's relatively heavy, and it's from Charles the Second reign. It's,
right.
It's old. And it has historically been lifted by people when they believe the Parliament is rotten or they believe the Parliament is no longer exercising its duty.
So Michael Heseltine, I think, did it.
Michael Heseltine, John McDonnell, and a number of others.
Yeah.
You don't do it to kind of... planned, really. Always it happens out of frustration, and that's what happened with me at that spur of the moment.
So spur of the moment thing. Yes.
And I've apologised. There are better ways and more nuanced ways of expressing your disgust at what the government's doing. But when they refuse to allow you to debate it, refuse to allow you a vote, it suddenly at that moment feels like there is no other opportunity apart from grabbing that and saying Parliament is redundant now if the government's going to treat us like nothing.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way. John Bercow, of course, asked you to leave the chamber. Did you wield it at all? I mean, I've never actually seen the video of it, so I don't know what you did with
it. No, I just lifted it up and I held it up there symbolically to show that it was no longer in its place. I handed it over to the guards woman and she put it back, and I was asked to leave for the day. I did. I lose a day's pay, but if it is worth it, it's worth it if it is to highlight the disgrace of undermining democracy that this government is doing at the moment, and hopefully I won't do it again.
Well, one of the questions, of course, that that I've been asking all day here after what happened yesterday is, how is it possible that the government cancels a vote or postpones a vote which all of last week we were told could only happen if they had a vote to postpone the vote?
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be able to do it without having that vote.
That's what I found infuriating. Mm. And it is part of the problem about when you have rules never written down, you can suddenly the government comes along and suddenly makes them up. And I think the Speaker was as frustrated as I was. I probably should have let the Speaker express that frustration himself, but I just felt like I had to do something.
OK, well, I think the people will thank you for it, I'm sure, in the long run. You'll find yourself, no doubt, written about in Hansard in a slightly colourful way, will you? I don't know how they write these things in Hansard.
We'll see what happens.
OK, thank you very much.
Thank
indeed.
You very much.
We're going to go straight to the phones now, because we haven't got much time. We've got to get a lot of people on. That was Lloyd Russell Moyle, Labour MP for Kemp Town and Peacehaven, on his demonstration, one-man demo yesterday in the Houses of Parliament, for which he lost a day's pay. So you have to tip your hat to a guy who's willing to do that.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.